Morning, everyone. Good Friday. I'm almost tempted to go into that Tony Campala famous sermon. It's Friday, but Sundays are coming. But that's another one for another day. For those of you who know it, you know what joy it brings. Scripture readings today originally were Mark 15, verse 16 to 20, and Isaiah 53, verse 1 to 6. But then a messenger from the Holy Spirit called Brian Schober contacted me and said, the children are going to be in today, Peter. Is it PG limited? Because it can be, you know, Good Friday can be a bit maybe heavy for the children. I said, you must be joking. You must bring them in. We want to see them. Because the Word of God's got lots of good stories in it. And so, I changed Isaiah, you can have this for homework, 53 verse 1 to 6 for homework, and instead substituted 1 Peter 3, 18 to 21. So first and foremost, Mark 15, 16 to 20. And so the soldiers led Jesus away to the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him, falling on their knees. They paid homage to him, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put on his own clothes, and then they led him away out to crucify him. What a day. What a day. How can it be called Good Friday? And as I prayed about this, this is when the words came into my mind about Jesus being a superhero. And this was prompted by Brian talking about the children. Now, JJ's boys, where are you? Just come forward. This is just the Lord's confirmation that I wasn't going off on one of my second chapter imaginations, you know? Right, stand up and keep your back. Superheroes. These guys know what superheroes. Move over so these guys can see it. Superheroes are all about. And then turn around. We got them on the front as well. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Okay. There's just one name missing from that. And it's the name of Jesus. Jesus. What a superhero. If you want to talk to me about the powers, and when the kids start talking about their various superheroes, they can tell you, oh, this one can make you freeze, or this one can go invisible. When you hear the stories this morning, the first part of the story, especially for you children, from 1 Peter 3, 18 to 21, you're going to hear what superpowers Jesus had. And so, we move on to that particular part of scripture, 1 Peter 3, 18 to 21. Now this is Peter explaining what happened with Jesus after he'd been crucified dead. What happened between then and Sunday resurrection? For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring to you God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. And after being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, that's those who were dead, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. So what's this telling us? It's telling us that Jesus went down into the depths of hell. How and why? He went there so that those who had not had the chance of believing in the name of Jesus could believe in the name of Jesus and so be saved. Because they died in their sins of the law. Amen? And so, how can we call it Good Friday? Well, for a start, there was somebody, in all of these superhero stories, you always have a villain. And we've got a villain of the story. And he was the person who thought it was a good day. And his name was Satan. And I come in now with my thoughts and my imagination. He must have been strutting around saying, I've won. I've won. There he is, Jesus. He's dead and buried. I've won. After all of this, he came with those superpowers called miracles. And he could heal the sick. He touched people who were blind. He even touched the lepers and they were healed. He raised Lazarus from the dead. With all of those powers, people were believing in him. But I've won. Because now he's dead and buried. And Satan said, you know what? It's been a long struggle since the beginning of time. But I've won. So I'm taking a break. And he called his two lieutenants over, Death and Decay. And he said, can I leave you in charge while I go for a break? And they said, sure, boss. If Death's got hold of him, I can rot him, said Decay. There's no way he's going to escape. And so that was it. Off went Satan. Packed some hot chilies and went somewhere very hot like Palabora on holiday. And that was fine, except when he came back. He came back to that dark and terrible place. And he knew immediately something was wrong. He could see his lieutenants shaking with fear. And he said, what's going on? What's going on? What's up? What's up? And Death and Decay. Death said, boss, he's escaped. He's gone. What do you mean he's gone? You told me once Decay gets hold of him, you've got him, he would be rotted away. And Decay said, boss, I've never seen anything like, we put him in the darkest place, the deepest dungeon. I've never seen a sinless man go in there, and we locked him. He was in there. But then, in the darkness, I started to see a light, and it was coming through that great barrier, that great door that we'd locked him in. And this light was getting stronger and stronger, and the door burst open, and Jesus came out of that place. And as his light fell on the dungeons of anybody who called out, Jesus, save me, the doors burst open. The doors of the dead burst open. And they walked out. And they were jumping for joy and walking with Jesus and singing the praise of God. And I thought on these things. They were in my imagination. Based on what I believe to be the truth. And again, the thought crossed my mind. The lieutenants warned Satan, boss, it's even worse than that. Because they came up and they took your bunch of eternal damnation keys for all those in the future who want to call upon your name. And Jesus has opened up a key shop in heaven. And anyone, you, me, anybody in the future who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ can receive the key to eternal life, to unlock your prison, to unlock your alcohol, your drug abuse, your loneliness, to unlock your whatever is holding you down and tying you down. And I've got to tell you something, it's great to have this key. this key shop in heaven. Because the brilliant thing is, I've lost my key a number of times. And he's got a master copy. And every time I've gone back and I've asked him, Lord, I'm sorry. Please, may I have my key back? And he's given me the key back to eternal life. Now that's a story of a superhero and a story of what happened, I believe. But then just for the adults, because, you know, they don't get it as quickly as you kids do, so I've just got to explain it now to the adults a little bit. Why is it called Good Friday? Because Jesus has got your key. He paid the price for it. Jesus was whipped. He was beaten and flogged. He was spat upon. He was betrayed by his chosen people. He was deserted by his friends. And finally, he was crucified, which means he was nailed to the cross to die. Not because Satan had won, but because our Heavenly Father's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that will was the love for you. The love for you and me. And that was the extent of the sacrifice. So that you and I could become children of God. Why is it Good Friday? Because all who call upon the name of Jesus will be saved from hell. Was there any other way other than Jesus dying? No, there wasn't. Why was that? Why did Jesus have to die? Well, in the beginning, God created everything perfectly. He separated light from darkness. He separated day from night. He separated sea from sky. He separated himself from evil, holiness from evil, good from bad, life from death. God created all the creatures of the earth and declared them good. And he created man in his own image and said, he is good, she is good. And as the pinnacle of his creation, in order that he could enjoy companionship with men and women, men and women walked in innocence in God's creation in the Garden of Eden. They had only one law that they must obey. Do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They didn't need any other laws because they were innocent. But the eternal deceiver stole their innocence and seduced them. Did God really say? This is how clever Satan is. Very often, he won't say, you're going in exactly the wrong direction. He'll say to you, did God really say just a little bit? Well, a little bit here, by the time it gets to the moon, is a million miles away. Did God really say? So sly. They didn't need any other laws, but they just needed to obey. And so the God of righteousness decreed the punishment of pain in childbirth for women and the curse of toil for men for the rest of his days. And he banished them from the Garden of Eden. But it's at this point we're given a glimpse of the wholeness of God, because in Genesis 3:21 we read, the Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. God, in his compassion, clothed them in their shame. That speaks volumes when we talk about grace and love. God maintained his relationship with mankind through his chosen people. And even though they were disobedient and sinful by nature, they brought the Ten Commandments of God into the world. In payment for their sins, God accepted their sacrifice, namely, the giving up of something very valuable and symbolizing something pure on which their sins could be transferred, and because the result of their sin was death, the innocent animal was slaughtered. But their sins and disobedience grew and grew, and although the letter of the law was being enacted, the spirit of the law and the lack of remorse was being lost. Our God of holiness, justice, and righteousness demanded justice, the separation of all sinners into eternal death. But our God of love, compassion, and mercy wanted to save us and wanted friendship with every human being. But how could our God of holiness accept sinners through his love for them without debasing his standards of holiness? It just wasn't possible to mix darkness into light or evil into holiness. They had been eternally separated. But our God of love found a way, the only way. Our God of holiness demanded the penalty for so much sin must be death. And our God of love agreed to come and pay that price. In Jesus, God became man. And Jesus, God, showed himself as the God of love and compassion. Amen. Amen. And so the Roman soldiers took him and flogged him. Then they crucified him. They slaughtered him. Jesus is the only way to walk across that separation that divides you and I from God and his eternal life in paradise. No ifs, no buts. All we have to do is acknowledge that we're guilty and acknowledge that Jesus has paid the price for our sin and ask him to come into our lives. Why did Jesus die? Because we sinned and have separated ourselves from God in paradise. Why? We, by our thoughts, words, and deeds, have condemned ourselves. We've broken all of God's laws of the Ten Commandments. But listen to the good news. On this Good Friday, Jesus, God loves you so much, so overwhelmingly, that he paid your price. He died so you might live forever. Jesus died not only for you to live, but that you might have abundant life both now and forever. This is the good news on this Good Friday. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.